There's no better place to learn the story about Jesus than the Gospel of Luke. This Gospel puts forth an orderly account of Jesus' life from his birth all the way through his death and resurrection. And if you read this Gospel through in just one sitting, you get a sense of how much adventure there was in Jesus' life. Now, at the beginning of his story, we meet two women who were given unexpected news that put them on their own adventures in life. They both learned that they would be pregnant. And that news was shocking to them because it seemed impossible. And it really turned their worlds upside down. Now, I'm talking about Mary and Elizabeth. And our scripture passage that refers to this story comes out of Luke chapter 1. I will read verses 26 through 38. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open to that passage, or you can follow along on the screen. The words will appear there in just a minute. But again, our scripture is Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. Let's listen now to our scripture. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Do y'all like watching Christmas movies? Yeah, I do. And it is that time of year when we can find plenty of Christmas movies on television. And one of the things that I've noticed about Christmas movies is that the main characters often find themselves in a moment of crisis where their lives feel unsettled or chaotic or just in plain shambles. Ebenezer Scrooge, for example, was overcome with fear, regret, and loneliness when he was visited by three different ghosts. Tim Allen in The Santa Claus played a workaholic businessman who realized he's been a crummy dad who's neglected his family for far too long. Charlie Brown felt like a big-time loser because he couldn't pick out a good Christmas tree. And the Griswolds had their lives turned upside down when Cousin Eddie showed up. Now, all these people, each in their own way, felt like they were on the edge of life. And there are moments in life that push us to the edge, like when something unexpected or painful happens, or when we make some bad decisions, or when we live through a series of tough breaks where nothing goes our way. And I think a lot of folks felt like they were pushed to the edge about a week ago when we learned about the Omicron variant. There are a lot of things that can push us to the edge in life. And in times like this, it wouldn't take much to send us over the edge. And that's when we're tempted to give up, throw in the towel, and lose all hope. We may even question our faith because it may not seem like it's making any difference. Now, I think it's fair to say that Elizabeth and Mary were on the edge of life, though for much different reasons. Now, we know that one of them was old and the other was young. One was married and one was betrothed. But both of them were troubled with the direction their lives were going. Both were dealing with disappointments. And I imagine they both wondered if God was even listening to their prayers. Picture Elizabeth in your mind for a moment. Now, she had wanted nothing more than to have children of her own. She married when she was probably 15 or 16 years old. That's really young to us. But getting married at that age in the ancient times was common practice. And when Elizabeth was a newlywed, she expected to start her family and have kids fairly quickly. But by the time she was 20, no babies had come, and yet she wasn't overly concerned. She prayed hard and still hoped that her family would grow. But then the birthdays started adding up, and we can imagine that she became more anxious about this as the years passed. And I'm sure she kept praying for a child, though by this point her prayers were probably mixed with feelings of shame and disappointment that were brought on by the social pressures of her time. People would have looked down on her for not being able to produce a baby. And by the time Elizabeth turned 40, we can imagine that her hope started slipping away. And when her 50th birthday rolled around, she likely wondered what good it would do to keep praying for a child. Now, through all of this, she had to put up with gossip from neighbors and friends. It's likely that people speculated that she didn't have any kids because she lacked faith or because God was punishing her. And that kind of talk only added to her frustrations and disappointments. Now, the weight of this situation took its toll on Elizabeth, and her hope for a child faded as the years passed by. By the time she reached the golden years, she simply wanted to get on with what was left of her life. But then one day, when her husband Zechariah was going about doing his work as a priest, he had a vision of an angel from God, and this messenger told him that the prayers that he and his wife had prayed for a child would finally be answered. Zechariah found this news impossible to believe because he and his wife were just too old to have a baby. The angel responded to him, though, by saying, and you find this in verses 19 and 20, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Zechariah and Elizabeth were surprised by the angel's news. And we really can't blame them. After all, it was the most unexpected news they had ever received. Life, remember, had pushed them to the edge. But now God was making the impossible come true. Elizabeth's cousin, Mary, was also on the edge of life. Now, she had lived a quiet, respectable life up to this point. She had stayed at home and helped her mother out and waited upon her father, as all daughters were expected to do in the first century. She also was betrothed to a man that her family found suitable. And apparently Joseph had made a good impression on them. Everyone seemed happy that a marriage was about to take place. But then Mary was visited by a messenger from God who delivered the most unexpected news. News that turned her world upside down. She was told that she would have a child, and the father would not be Joseph. This was shocking news, and it created a lot of confusion for Mary. But the angel said to her, and you find this in verses 31 through 33, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This message from Gabriel echoed the promises spoken by the prophets of old, who promised that a Savior would come and rescue all people who were on the edge of life. And as that message began to sink in to Mary, she was trying to make sense of it all. And so she asks, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" Well, the angel replied that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and the child would be conceived by the power of God. The angel also told her that her cousin Elizabeth had also conceived a child in her old age. Now, this was shocking news to Mary. It seemed impossible to believe. But the angel said, "Nothing is impossible with God." Now, all of us experience frustrations, disappointments, and even despair at times. There are moments when we feel like we've been pushed to the edge. This happens to everyone. And I think these feelings are especially strong when we feel like we're capable of giving birth to something good and new and wonderful, but it just doesn't seem to come true. And when this happens, when our potential goes unfulfilled, when our hopes and dreams begin to fade, we start to doubt and we fear the worst. And if you've ever said to yourself, "That's not going to happen because it's impossible," then perhaps you should reconsider the way God works, because nothing is impossible to God. It's never too late for something new and good and wonderful to be born. And maybe this very moment in life is pregnant with possibilities that you just can't see right now. Now, we're challenged by the stories of Elizabeth and Mary to have hope that God will make the impossible possible. And both women were on the edge of life. They had doubts and disappointments, but they also hung on to the hope they had in God and believed that the Lord can, in fact, do the impossible. And they both cooperated with the work of God. After Mary had listened to the angel's message, she responded by saying in verse 38, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Now, Mary didn't know how everything would play out. She didn't know how Joseph or her family would respond. She didn't know if she would be punished for having a child out of wedlock. But she trusted God. She said yes to God's call on her life. Now, at a time later on, Elizabeth and Mary met together, and they rejoiced in the way God was working in their lives, and they pondered what would come. And we know from the Gospel of Luke what unfolded. Both Elizabeth and Mary would give birth to their sons. Elizabeth's son, John, would prepare the way for Mary's son, Jesus, who was God in the flesh. And these two sons would each say yes to the task given to them. And they both would suffer for their willingness to be a part of God's work to save all people. They each played a role in God's good news, which, by the way, has a way of turning the ways of the world upside down. And Mary sang about this in that wonderful song of hers that we call the Magnificat. You can find this in the passage right after the passage that I read. This is in verses 46 through 55 of Luke chapter 1. See, Mary realized that something amazing was about to happen. And so what did she do? She sang a song. She sang of the God who saves, the God who lifts up the lowly, the God who showers blessings on those in need, the God who shares mercy. God has scattered the proud, lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty, as the scripture says. See, Mary tells us that God believes all people are entitled to the good things of God's kingdom. All people deserve to have an abundant life. And what we find at the heart of Mary's song is the message of God's unlimited grace and unmerited blessing. Now, I think Mary's song, more than anything else, captures the essence of the gospel, that it is good news for all people, not just a select few. And the life of her son, Jesus, is the good news. Now, Jesus showed those who followed him, and he continues to show those who follow him, the good news through his words and through his deeds. In Jesus, we see how we should live, and we see what it means to say yes to God. Now, are we willing to say yes to God like Elizabeth, like Mary, like John, like Jesus? Are we willing to sing with Mary the good news that is for all people? Are we willing to live out God's good news in word and in deed? Now, if we believe in a God who makes the impossible possible, we will. We'll say yes. But when we say yes to God, we're doing more than just making a spiritual decision. When we say yes to God, we're not holding anything back. We're surrendering our whole selves to God. We're giving God our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our stories, our future, and even our limitations. So in this Advent season, let's make a total surrender to God. Let's cooperate with God like Elizabeth, Mary, John, and Jesus did. Let's dare to believe that the impossible is possible. And if we do this, I think we'll see how life is full of good and new and wonderful things waiting to be born, especially at those moments when life has pushed us to the edge. Would you pray with me? Oh God, there are many moments in life when we get frustrated and disappointed and discouraged. Our sense of hope begins to fade because we struggle to see a brighter day ahead. And it's in times like this, Lord, that we pray we would be more like Elizabeth and Mary, who opened their hearts to your good news. They said yes to you. Help us to be open to your work, Lord. Help us to believe that you can make the impossible possible. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our band will lead us in a song in just a moment. As we sing, I'll be in the back of the room. If any of you would like to come and talk or pray with me, I'll be there for you. And this is also a time to make some decisions about how you feel God is leading you in your life. Maybe it's a time to finally say yes to God and accept the call of discipleship on your life. Or maybe you feel God nudging you toward a particular ministry where you can serve. Or maybe you'd like to unite with our church and membership. These are all the kinds of decisions we can make today. But I'll be in the back to meet with any if you'd like to come and talk. Let's stand and continue our worship now.